Thanks, David. Thanks, Phil. David, you talked about God not being in quarantine. Yeah, I read somewhere early on where God was breaking all the rules because he didn't have to be in quarantine like we did. Thank you that we have a God who is close to us and always close to us and doesn't have to distance himself in any way. Our message this morning is one of the ones from our people in prayer on the prayer of Jabez. Now, this guy's only mentioned three times in Scripture, and he's buried in the exhaustive list of names from the first few chapters of Chronicles. The Old Testament Book of 1 Chronicles is a genealogical record written by Ezra after the Babylonian exile of God's people. And although Jabez is in there, you don't really know his connections except that he was from the tribe of Judah. We aren't sure who his brothers are or who his dad is, but he's introduced as if he was a well-known local celebrity. So Ezra records him not for his family history, but because of the many disciples he left behind. He's recorded not for his lineage, but for his faith. Jewish writers affirm that he was an eminent doctor of the law, whose reputation drew so many to him and to that local region that a town was named after him in 1 Chronicles 2:55. In Jabez's time, part of Israel's recent national history was Joshua's conquest of Canaan and the partitioning of the promised land into chunks of real estate for each tribe. And Jabez probably was at that time praying for God to increase his borders. Jabez isn't like us. He doesn't live amidst our modern materialism, and his prayer can't be directly applied to us without seeing how it relates to his own situation and then to Jesus Christ. God promises us provision, not prosperity, as some perhaps mistakenly believe. Christ promises we will have trouble in this life, but Jabez lived in a time where God had promised destruction as a consequence for rebellion, so he had much to fear. But from his perspective, provision was prosperity. What does it mean to pray like Jabez in our daily lives? It means to submit our lives to God as a blank canvas. John Piper, a theologian, writes, "Lay hold on God for some great biblical vision for your life on this earth, and don't let it go until you have it from his merciful hand." It's wholehearted devotion to lay our desires and our needs at his feet, knowing that he will set us on the right path. Through Jabez, God teaches us the importance of our relationship with him. Jabez discovered that ordinary, personal, everyday needs can be brought to God. He cried out, and God granted his request. So many people look for formulas to use for evangelism and prayer. Jabez's prayer has some foundational things for us to pray in our walk with God. But Jabez was not using prayer as a formula to get something from God. Rather, he was calling upon God to help him accomplish the promises and the will of God itself. Just in these two verses, we have a powerful, life-changing prayer. This man and this prayer made an impact. A few years ago, Bruce Wilkinson, founder of Walk Through the Bible, wrote about Jabez's prayer, and it became quite a movement for a time, with many people testifying to the enormous change in their lives as they prayed this prayer daily. The first part of it, "Oh, that you would bless me, that you would bless me indeed." For a proper interpretation of his prayer, it should be read through a spiritually sound lens, not, again, one necessarily of just materialism. Blessing is spiritual prosperity too. It is God's nature to bless his people. Genesis 12:2 says, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your descendants' names great, and you shall be a blessing." Psalm 72:17 says, "His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed by him. All nations shall call him blessed." And Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Jabez asked God to bless him. We need to ask God to bless us. He asked God to contribute to his contentment, his well-being, and his prosperity. To ask for a blessing is to ask to be consecrated and to be made holy. The word bless in the dictionary originally meant to be consecrated by blood, to be made holy. By asking for God to bless him, Jabez was asking for God to set him apart and to make him holy. Jabez wanted to make a difference. Jabez was asking to be identified as belonging to God. Jabez simply asked God to bless him indeed. Adding the word indeed was like adding 5 exclamation points or writing the request in capital letters and underlining it. He was making sure God heard and noticed his prayer. Jabez did not tell God how to bless him. He moved beyond living a life of everyday blessing to living a life of abundant blessing. There is a form of prayer that we call supplication. That is asking God for a specific need to be granted. We might ask God to heal us, to forgive us, to repair a broken marriage, to keep our children safe from harm, and so on. And we do need to pray those sort of prayers. But when we ask God to bless us, we're opening ourselves up to receive whatever God wants to give us. And the only way we will receive the blessing God wants to give us is to ask for it. In Matthew 7:7, it says, "Jesus said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you." And James 4:2 tells us, "You don't have because you do not ask." You have no doubt heard the saying, "Good things come to those who wait." But God's word tells us a bit differently. Blessings come to those who ask. I wonder what wondrous and unlimited blessings we are missing out on because we don't ask God to bless us every day. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, what the eye has not seen nor the ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Anything beyond our imagination is perhaps what God has planned for us. What are the blessings outside your ability to imagine that God has given to you? A few weeks ago, I visited the place where I scattered Dave's ashes. And I was crying so much out there again. But as I stopped and took account of what was going on, I realised I wasn't crying because I was missing David. But I was overwhelmed at how God, during that time, had showed me his love, his care, his faithfulness, and that he'd been with me in the most miraculous yet personal ways. And the son that came with me that day, got to hear all about them again. Jabez then prays, "Enlarge my territory." Sometimes this sort of prayer can make us feel uncomfortable. It sounds like Jabez is asking God to give him things, especially to make him more wealthy. And it is true, that's probably exactly what Jabez is doing, but there's more to it than that. It has to do with 2 basic Jewish understandings. The first is, if a person does bad, then a person will get bad things or bad results. However, if a person does good, then the Jewish understanding was a person would get good things and good results. If God answered Jabez's prayer as he has asked, then Jabez understood he had found favour in God's eyes. Secondly, then, is the relationship of the Jewish individual to the land. The land of Canaan wasn't just a homeland, a country in which one is born and has loyalty. The land is deeply tied to God's promise of prosperity. One needed the land to survive for one's livelihood and basic necessities. And the land was a gift from God and a means through which one received God's salvation and God's blessing. However, the keeping of the land came with certain responsibilities and obligations. One must remain faithful to God in order to keep the land. And we saw how often the Israelites lost their land because of their unfaithfulness. One must follow God's ways, and one must use the land faithfully, giving it back in right portion and measure the fruits from the land, be it animal or vegetable or in nature. And the landowner was responsible for the care of his fellow Israelites who had less than he, such as the story of Boaz we see in Ruth. A wealthy landowner had responsibilities for the widow and orphan as understood by the Jewish faith. It wasn't just a civic responsibility, it was a question of faithfulness. For Jabez to ask for more territory was to ask for more responsibility to faithfully handle God's gifts. Jabez knew that ultimately the land didn't belong to him, it belonged to his God. He knew that he was a steward, a trustee, and so when God answered his prayer for more land, it meant that God was entrusting him with the opportunity to do good. Blessings are usually not for us alone, but for those around us as well. Today, when we pray for God to enlarge our territory, we're asking for a greater opportunity to influence people for Christ. We're asking that God would enlarge our ministry and amplify our testimony. This prayer removes the limitations of God in your life. God, do more. I want more. It is us who limits the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We could pray, Lord, get me out of my comfort zone so as I can experience every blessing that you want to pour out, so as I can be a blessing to others. And he prayed that God might be with him, that God's right hand might be with him. When the hand of God is on you, it needs to be apparent to everyone around you. God, in all his glory, in all his majesty, in all his splendour and awesomeness, wants to put his hand on us. Jabez prays for a closer relationship with his God. The Hebrew word that is used here is the one for an open hand. What a comfort to know that God is there with an open hand to take ours and lift us up when we are down and encourage us when we are weak. But it's more than that. It also, the word means power and direction. Power, God's power, the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us. And how often do we use it? How often do we ask for it? How often do we rely on it? How often do we ask for God to be with us? And how often do we really mean it? We ask God to be with us, but we really mean, be with us, God, when we need a hand, or be with us when we're scared, or be with us when things are tough. And of course, God is going to be with us in those times. But isn't it a different thing entirely to invite God to be with us all the time? To say, Lord, be with me when I'm thinking of acting in anger. Be with me when I'm thinking of being unfaithful. Be with me when I'm perhaps about to steal from my company. Lord, be with me when I'm about to hurt someone else. Lord, be with me when I begin to stray from your side, or I'm about to forget your presence in my life. Lord, be with me when I'm turning from being obedient to you to following my own ways. But that's the kind of be with me Jabez has in mind. And the early church continually prayed to be filled by God. Acts 4:23 talks about they were known as a community who spent hours and even days in prayers together, waiting upon God and asking for his power and his blessing. How long has it been since you prayed to be filled by God? Paul exhorted the Ephesians to be filled with all the fullness of God. When was the last time, and I found it a struggle to remember, when we as a church got together and pleaded for the filling of his Spirit? Let's pray this prayer each day in lockdown for ourselves and for our church. And then afterwards, let's come together and pray together for God's filling, for God's power and for God's blessing. We have some very faithful and gifted prayers in our church, and I believe they make a huge difference to our witness and our ministry, and I want to thank them. But it is no excuse for us not to come together and pray. Pray this prayer daily, and I guarantee we will see God move. And Jabez goes on to pray that God would keep him from evil. Jabez prays for God to guard our hearts and for his protection from every evil, both seen and unseen. It's something we often ask for. Lord, keep me from harm. And harm is the kind of thing that catches us off guard when we're not ready, as perhaps like in an accident. But harm is also done in the messes that we make for ourselves. Harm is the kind of thing we do to one another. Harm is the kind of thing that separates us from God's love and his presence. And it's more than just physical danger. Harm can come in big ways we can't miss. But it can also come in subtle ways, in ways we pretend not to see, and even in ways that we might actively pursue. Jabez's Old Testament prayer can be aligned with the way Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jabez's name meant pain. He had caused pain to his mum at birth. It's probably not surprising, is it? That often happens at birth to many of us mums. But he didn't want to cause any more pain. In ancient times, your name defined who you were, but Jabez wanted his life to be a blessing. So he did not let his circumstances or his position stop him from asking for a blessing and being used by God. Jabez wanted to be protected from the harm of evil, and he also wanted to be kept from sinning because he knew that sin causes pain. Psalm 141:4 says, God, don't let my heart turn to anything evil. Sin brings pain into the world. It causes pain in the life of the sinner, but as well as those for whom it is committed against. And sin causes God pain. It's like a cancer. It will eat all the way through your life, and it will deprive you of God's blessings. Sin will weaken and even destroy your Christian influence. It will cause the hand of God, the power of God, not to be upon your labour and your effort for him. Sin will turn your success into defeat. Sin will cause pain to be in everything that you say or do. And as we know, sin brings the curse of death. This prayer, as we draw close to God, the Holy Spirit helps us stand against sin, particularly that which we deliberately pursue. It helps give us checks and balances. So for us today, Jabez's name stood out from among those endless genealogies. Although he was not a great prophet or preacher or a wise ruler or a brave warrior, he was remembered and he was honoured for his prayer. When I reflect on Jabez, I'm first drawn to how his name and situation parallels often with our own. We too are born into a world of pain. The world seems to have set us up, or many of us, for failure. Many feel they are born losers, and we have a great knack for making a mess of things. This could have been Jabez's lot if he let his circumstances define who he was. But Jabez, he could have turned bitter. He could have turned angry. But he was the one, the Bible tells us, who prayed. What his mother called him was overruled because he prayed. He prayed for God to bless him. Are you living the life God wants you to live, or are you just living life? God wants you to live a life of blessing. God does not want you to settle for less. He has preserved the prayer in here as a living testament to this. Jabez sought God's blessing on his life. He was not asking for more of what he could get for himself. He was crying out for a wonderful, unlimited goodness that only God can give. He wanted God's best, and he believed that God wanted to give it to him. I've personally been challenged by this prayer. I don't think I always pray this passionately. The problem is that perhaps we've become too complacent. Complacency is a lack of feeling or interest, a place of satisfaction. It's a place where we don't seek God's blessing often. We're preoccupied with ourselves. It's all about us. We want more and more, and we want it faster, better and cheaper. Our lives have become shallow and self-centred, and we worry about how we look and what we have. So many people never have a purpose larger than themselves. We're too busy to be concerned with the things of God. I want to leave you with a question today that has challenged me again as I've prepared. Are you closer to God than you were at the beginning of last year? If you're not any closer, you have missed the blessing. I pray that God will bless you and me and bring a new fire into our souls, a new passion for God, a new zeal for serving him, a new desire to have your life be a blessing to the world. And the surest sign that you are growing as a Christian is that you have a growing desire for your life to be used by God and to be blessed by him so as you can be a blessing to others. Don't be in this same place this time next year. Pray this prayer and watch and wait and see what God does. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for this man, Jabez, and thank you that you decided to record him and his prayer, those two lines in your word. To have it included in these passages must mean it is important, and it is one that we need to note and put into practice. Oh Lord, we pray that you will open the floodgates, that you will bless us with all the blessings that you want to give, with all your power and your wisdom, so that we, Lord, might be blessed, but in turn be a blessing to others. Oh, Lord, help us to do more for your kingdom. Widen the boundaries. Give us a greater vision and show us how to do that. Make the way possible. Bring the people you want into our circles so that we might live for you, so they might see you and the blessings that you give. And through your Spirit, Lord, that their lives might be changed. Oh, Lord, may we stay close to you. Give us courage and strength for the task that you want to give us. Keep us from the evil one. Protect us from our own sin and our propensity to do so. And guide our hearts and our minds with your truth. And Lord, we pray that we will witness blessings and miracles beyond our comprehension, as your word tells us that you want to give us. We pray that we'll be able to give testimony to your mercy and grace. And let us not take the credit for the things that you do, but let us proclaim that all the glory is yours forever and ever. Lord, help us to grow closer to you each and every single day. Pour that passion into our hearts to know you more and to be yours in the situations that you've placed us and in the ones even beyond our imagination. Be with us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being with us again here today. And, yeah, can I challenge you to pray that prayer, the prayer of Jabez, daily. And let's wait and see. And hopefully when we come back together that we'll have testimony to what that means and what God is doing in our lives. So now, as you go, may the grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and in the days to come, and in whatever you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.